Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom! Hallelujah. Bless you all, listening audience. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Women, myself, 10, and a young woman coming up, a young lady with us tonight, a young daughter of Zion, hallelujah. And welcome to the show. We are live. I have often had requests for a live audience, you know, a room full of sisters participating, asking questions, etc. Tonight it just so happened to be, and I didn't plan it at all. So welcome to another Sister to Sister. Everybody, shalom again.
Shalom!
Hallelujah. So they're all here to hear to, I'm also going to ask them some questions, and it's going to be different. This is the first time we've ever done this dynamic. So, hey, all praises to the Most High Yah. When y'all agree that you are pleased to know one another,
yes,
and to be a part of this family.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so that's our honor tonight, that we are all coming together and gathering for the feast of...
Pentecost!
Yes, hallelujah. Y'all can probably see or even feel or hear their smile. So thanks for tuning in. They are smiling too. Probably kind of fun to hear us all in one room. I'm just going to go around and say who or what do you want to say thank you for? And just like me and Mother Jennifer, who happens to be one of the grown, strong, and mature women in this room, Mother Jennifer is here, but she came to listen. So if you hear her voice, it'll be a pleasure. And I'm just going to go around and ask everybody to give your as small or as large or as long or as short acknowledgement because you're here.
Mama Zsa Zsa, I would like to acknowledge our beloved pastor, his family, all the elders through leadership. And I also want to send out special love to Mama Betty in Mississippi. I love you and I miss you, Mama Betty.
Hallelujah. Thank you. So as we go around, y'all continue to speak up. It might feel uncomfortable to have to speak up, but they need to hear you. Okay? So we'll go to you. Who are you?
Nadia.
Nadia. Hi, Nadia. Who do you want to acknowledge?
Bless you all. I wanted to thank my mom and my dad. They've helped mold and shape me to who I am now, and they deserve great honor.
Hallelujah. Thank you for honor. Beautiful. Go ahead. Welcome. Who are you?
This is Tammy. I want to thank first the Father for just allowing me to be at another feast with this people. And I definitely want to thank Ashley, just because she's such a great big sister. So.
Thank you, such a great little sister. Yes, Amanda, who
yes.
are you?
I'm Amanda. I'm so grateful to be here. Y'all so good at setting us all up together. I want to thank Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer, Pastor, his wonderful Shias, my sister Tanisha, and my sister Nicole. And my sister Tammy, all my sisters that y'all has blessed me with, I just praise y'all for y'all.
Hallelujah. It's wonderful to learn how to be a woman, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Which you thought you already were, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Step up, and who are you? Come on up a little bit.
This is Selena, and I touch and agree with my sisters. I just want to thank the Most High first and foremost and all the righteous men and women of this ministry leading and guiding us with their endurance and their patience and their long-suffering. And all of my sisters in Georgia, I want to shout them out because they have helped me through this whole process in the way coming in. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I love hearing the tears behind the shout-out because it means so much. Yes. Coming up, Sister Bonnie. I should have said, wait a second, y'all. Drum roll. Who is it and who are you? Yes.
Hallelujah. All praise to the Most High God. I want to thank my master, Elder Rufus, and my family here in Darren, Georgia, and my family here at Straightway. I'm honored to be here, and I thank the Father for my sisters who helped to mold me and help me get to where I am today. So I bless you all. I bless my pastor and his family and all of the women here in this room today, and I bless the Father and thank you, and I can't wait for tonight's topic and to learn and glean from them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming, y'all. No one, of course, expected to talk, but it is like a 50-50 shot in the dark, right? Like maybe, just maybe, I'm going to have to say something. I was really thankful to see everyone's face, so thank y'all for the support. Okay, so we're gonna save Sister. Let's see, she got about four names behind my computer screen. She's here every week. I'll let her introduce her name and herself. Come on up. Come on up.
Bless y'all. Y'all know me. I just want to thank y'all just for saving me and calling me out of darkness.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, bless you for always being my co-host. Please come say hi and just give any acknowledgments. Thanks for listening in. And tell us what you've been doing all day.
Shalom, bless you, daughters of Zion. I want to give all honor and glory to the Most High Yah for continually keeping me, keeping my mind sound and sane. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus. He's my elder, my brother, my husband, my leader, my friend, everything. And I want to acknowledge Pastor Dow and his family for their endurance and their long-suffering. And Ashley wants me to tell you what I've been doing all day.
Uh-huh.
I've been grilling chicken for the saints.
Hallelujah. Yes, she's above and beyond. So the grilled chicken was her choice. She grills the chicken that goes in your surprise Shabbat meal. Can everybody say?
Jambalaya.
Yes, jambalaya. So I'm sure you will be smiling so much throughout tonight's show with the participation. I'm sure it's coming across the airwaves with joy. Hey. Thanks to everyone who is coming out
driving, being safe, making the wisest decisions on when to leave, when to come, how to coordinate. You know, I don't know if any of you had to have any changes made with the gasoline and the fear tactics or the reality, whatever's going on out there. So I hope that you're still able to come. We are ready to feed you and be hospitable to you, that's for sure. Acknowledging the Father in all of our ways, of course, and really appreciating his fear, right? Because his fear comes just as a gift does, I guess I can say, because it's something you receive. You receive his fear. And so the fear of him is what motivates us to obey, to submit, to change. And so tonight, prior to me knowing that anyone, oh, by the way, Pentecost is 24 hours away. 48. So it'll be this Sunday for you, first day for us. We say first day. So we will have our Shabbat, and then we will have our Pentecost on first day. So that's why a lot of us are together. That's why we're having those of you travel in. So reaching out to those who also are listening but couldn't make it or are brand new. That's what we're coming from. When we say Pentecost, we're coming from Leviticus chapter 23, plus other various locations throughout the Word where you'll see that his people, us, his remnant, keep the feast. So prior to everyone coming, the only thing that was really brewing in my heart to mention was to, I always pull from Mama Zsa's experience in the church because it helps others relate. You know, relate to your experience that you had and relate to coming out of it and just kind of knowing that you're not alone, you know, you're not alone. So I usually say, or I have said before, how many years were you a part of the Christian church?
Oh, how many years?
Yes.
I'm going to say 50.
50.
Right. That I considered myself a Christian.
Yes.
My basic Pentecostal holiness was during the childhood years from birth through 17. Then after that, just like any other youngster, you go to college, you get lost out there in the rural. Then when I came back, there was something new, the charismatic movement. So I have seen through all of these many years, I've seen one move, I don't know, not the move of the Spirit, but the beginning of eras and the ending of those.
And the change.
And the change, right.
So we have your Pentecostal experience. Was that almost 50 years Pentecostal, you would think, or back and forth? So I'm going to go around the room kind of getting just a gist of your religion prior to the way or just what you confessed. Like maybe there wasn't a religion, but I believed in God. Or
right.
So just what was your confession? Yes, I'm a Christian, but were you Pentecostal?
It got to the point where you would say you're non-denominational.
Okay.
You know, which is, to me, is like almost the bottom of the barrel. Because think of the subtitle, none.
Yes.
So it's like you're none. There's no denomination.
I relate to no one.
Right.
Thanks for asking.
So that's what, you know, and all that was is like an era of rebellion that was ushered in to wipe out whatever ounce of holiness or anything, the coexisting, you know, started coming together.
I hope to talk about a lot of those things tonight, so we're going to Tammy. Tammy, what was your confession early on? I say confession, but it can be religion.
Oh, Seventh-day Adventist.
Seventh-day Adventist. Grew up in it?
From like 7 to 14 on and off.
Okay, 7 to 14 on and off. So her early childhood, or I should say late childhood, early adulthood, but Seventh-day Adventist so far, and a Pentecostal background, okay, or non-denominational. What you got, Nadia?
I got out really early, but I used to go to a Christian church with my family.
Okay, Christian church. Probably just in what, you're still middle school,
like
junior
seven.
High. You're seven, and you got out.
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Amanda?
So I was all my life non-denominational Christian.
Yes, and so you kind of church hop sometimes. What was it like?
Church hop.
Go with friends or?
Yeah, my grandparents were pastors, so I would always be in their church, wherever they were at, wherever they were ministering. So.
Okay, grandparents meaning a male and female?
Yes, ma'am.
What was the female's title?
She was also a pastor, yes.
Okay, pastor. All right, come on up, my sister. You, yes.
Lena, what were you?
I was actually no religion, but I have went through the Jewish places, the Ashkenazis. I've went through a Christian church before, and I've also been through the Jehovah's Witness. And I just was required to go there wherever I lived. But I decided that I was none of that, and I just believed that there was a God, but I labeled myself as no religion.
No religion.
Overall.
Okay, so kind of like through high school, you started saying no religion.
Yes,
like
and
that.
There was a lot of coexist at that time. Going
yes, okay, coexisting. All right, Sister Bonnie, come on up. Thought you'd be up and down a lot tonight. What's your background?
Yes, ma'am. From birth to 10, I was raised Baptist. And then from 10 to about 25, I was raised Pentecostal holiness. And that's honestly where I got the root of my understanding in Christ. I was got the Holy Spirit at 13. And then from 26 up until 38, I was in the Baptist church. So, yeah, that's my Baptist, Pentecostal holiness, and back to Baptist.
And what happened at 38?
I found Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Changed my life forever.
Thank you. Anytime y'all come to the mic, you can take as much time as you want. Don't let me rush you because I'm holding it forward. And Mother Jennifer, though some of our listeners might be familiar with some of your background, please come share, and I won't continue to ask you to get up every time.
Yes, it's fine.
It's fine.
I was raised Baptist, and I discontinued going to the Baptist church that I was raised in at about, I think it was age 17 when I was old enough to drive, and I went to a church, it was called the Vineyard Church, and it was non-denominational, and I was the only black person there, so I went to fellowship with the white folks, and...
Was it foot stomping and hand clapping?
It was, yeah. And that's where I really learned worship. I think I told Mama Jaja, I said the music, the words just really penetrated my heart because they were singing the word. They were singing the scriptures. And I had never experienced that before. So I think that was my journey on like realizing that Yah is real and his word is real.
Hallelujah. The music penetrated her. Okay, so back to me and Mama Jaja for a moment because the show was going to be me and you. And what happened was, to a lot of us, of course, you come to the faith and maybe even family or mom and dad or whatever brought you in, and then you start self-reflecting. You start reproving yourself or allowing his spirit to deal with you. You start repenting. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So was there a lot, we'll just do a crowd answer, was there a lot of repenting when you were in your previous church? Yes or no?
No.
Repenting?
More now, for sure.
More now, for sure, of course. Yeah. And the now would be because you're a part of this way.
Yeah.
Yes, the truth. Yes, the truth. So, all right. Growing up, you experienced tons of feast days. She was all like serious,
natural.
Yes, natural. No. So when reading here, let me go this way.
Okay.
Did you really read the word? Like, did you really read the Bible? You know, let's say at night or in the morning or carry it with you. What was your Bible experience with that book?
You know, believe it or not, this wasn't the foundational years. It's what I was just brought up, you know, as a child through, you know, the Pentecostal. Once I got out on my own, non-denominational, I did read the Bible. I did pray, a lot of praying. Basically, that's where I got a lot of foundation Bible, what I thought was Bible knowledge. I received the Holy Spirit, strong in feeling beyond a shadow of a doubt.
And what was your evidence?
Speaking in tongues.
All right. Go ahead.
And but here's the thing, and I look back on it now, and I would love to study and read the Bible, but in each, with the church I would attend, after you could only go so far with the more you were learning. But what amazes me now, as much as I studied and read the Bible, books, commentaries and everything, the word Hebrew and Israelite was totally hidden to me. I've never seen that. I can't explain it.
All right, pause. Did anyone read the Bible, yes or no, loud and clear?
Not really.
No. Okay, so there was a yes. Okay, two yeses. The rest of the crowd majority was no, didn't read the Bible. And to the yeses, did you come across Hebrew and Israelite with any understanding?
No, not understanding, but I definitely recognize it was there, but not
okay. So no understanding of it. Kind of like it was hidden to all of us, maybe?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so going back to you, Mama Jaja, did the awakening of the word come prior to finding Pastor Dal? Meaning, did you understand Hebrew Israelite before in your studies? Did you come across it before Pastor Dal?
No, not to that extent. The father really started, like, things started coming. Every time I would try to go back to church, because it's coming up in church, everybody has this conviction that you have to have a church home. And if you don't have it, you know, you're going to hell because you forsake not the assembly of yourself. But, you know, you got to go out and find, you know, look for, and you just get crazy. You have no other choice but to church hop in religion because there's no truth. So that's what you're going around, like this rabbit, going down this rabbit hole or in a circle, a dog chasing its tail, trying to find the truth, looking for it in some place that it's not there. So I will pull back again and start reading, and this is the time when I guess the internet is up. And I'm starting to see things like Christmas, holidays, not eating, you know, clean and unclean foods and things like this.
Brand new to your mind. New introduction.
Right. But it was resonating.
Yeah.
And I was going, wow, you know, there is, you know, this
something
sounds
else,
right.
Something.
Right. It's right. This sounds right.
So you started denying those holidays, right?
Yes.
You denied the Christmas and you denied the, what else, the Easter, et cetera, et cetera. But
right.
You did the pastor's birthdays, right?
Okay. When I went to this last little church, that reason why I went, it was a coworker was telling me, and the first thing she said, well, you know, she said they don't believe, she said we didn't believe, they don't believe in celebrating Christmas at, you know, Thanksgiving. I said, oh, really? This sounds like, you know, a place that I want to go. So, you know, when I went there, it was just a little rinky-dink hole in the wall. And one thing in the South, and especially North Carolina, it's not a church on every corner. It's a church every other house, every other, you know, skip, hop, you know, may not be nothing here, but next door you're going to find a church. And then after that, you're going to find a church. Drive down the street, you got 10 churches on the right. Coming back, you got 10, and all of them are empty. But going back to this church, so I really wanted to hear. But this pastor, he brought a handout one night. He couldn't elaborate on nothing because I had been studying on it, you know, just couldn't elaborate on the Christmas tree, Nimrod, and they were asking about him, just nothing, you know, about, it's not, you know, Jesus said to celebrate, you know, remember his death. So next thing you know, they're planning a pastor's appreciation and then a pastor's birthday. Then his wife's appreciation. Then his wife's birthday. And you don't want to say, excuse me, like, what the hell? When is enough? You know?
Can't celebrate Jesus' birthday.
Right. So, you know, why you want me to cut your cake?
Right.
You know, light your candles.
Right.
You know?
Does this sound like coming out of her to us? Like when we gather in a place like this and we talk like this, right? It's like, wow, okay. Can everybody say come out of her?
Come out of her.
Yeah.
Right.
So you came out, but yeah, keep talking. Anything.
Right. It's just, you know, so I was talking to somebody, you know, and they were saying, you know what? You're going all the way over there. And they said, I bet it's probably a church right in your neighborhood that you can go to.
Sometimes Jaja's going to laugh with her own story, so right. I'll just be the filler. Go ahead.
You know, it's somebody, you know, who that's real closer to you, that's probably, you know, more, I guess, spiritual or whatever. And sure enough, because remember, there's a church in every other household. Like Mother Jennifer, here's this non-denominational white folks church.
White folks, yes.
You know, they say it's integrated, but what's integrated is the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And the leadership, you know, that's all white. I don't know if they were Church of God or whatever. But when I got in there, red flags was I saw one of the deacons or somebody, it was December, he had on the tie. And his tie had Santa Claus.
Tie had Santa Claus. So maybe this sounds humorous out there, you know, depending on your background, maybe someone is just laughing and smiling along with us, and yes, I've come out of her, but maybe somewhere somebody it's brand new, and they, how could you, Mama Jaja, deny the term Christian? What was that journey like? Was that easy?
Once I came out of it, what got me was the scripture, the passage in Acts, when it says this, when they first were called Christians. So that was putting some legitimacy on it for me, because I was in a Bible study fellowship, you know, I was a teacher there. So I said, okay, this validates, you know, being a Christian, because this is...
Because they were called that, right?
And then, mm-hmm. later on, like years, and it was like, who called you that?
Right. That's hitting your heart, your
right.
spirit. Yeah, you're hearing that inside your inner man.
Right.
Like, calling me a Christian, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I went back and I read it, you know, again. That's what they first called it. It never said the Most High did it.
Right.
When all of you or any of you travel, you go out, you go to the store. Does everybody go to the store? Yeah. Yes, yeah. Right? You have to go get gas or whatever. You travel around your area. You DoorDash, right? So do you see holiness?
No.
No, not at all, right? Nothing that would resemble, I need to get there, right?
No.
So just for a moment, because we're just having a really, just a fun broadcast, but it's for somebody, believe me. And so Mama Jaja and I had went out to a Amish market. We are not Amish, though I've been asked that before, just because maybe we're dressed that way. I guess when I take a black lady with me, they don't ask me if I'm Amish, though, right?
No, they ask, what was that
for? Yeah, the Amish asked us this time. Right? She laughing. I told y'all she would laugh. I would be filling in. She's falling out of her chair. So we had to start our, and so every time I tell this to myself, I say, I can't go anywhere without a story. Like, I can't. What is that dynamic? Like, I don't have that in my mind. I'm just going to go run out and grab something, and then here comes the story. So we're in the Amish hat. We're going for flour. We're going
nursery.
For, yeah, so they have a nursery, and here's Jaja with the window down, a little crack, and oh, I wanted to stop there. I said, I've never seen that place as many times as I may have traveled, which is few, to the Amish market for flour. And they have the produce and the honey and these things, right? They have a really successful thing going on amongst them, right? Very drab, very dry, very dead, very lifeless, but nevertheless, they have a good business. And so here we are. We pull into the nursery, and we're the only ones there. At first, you say nursery, but it's like two greenhouses, if you can imagine it. So two side-by-side greenhouses, or maybe even more than that, four. But we go in, thousands of plants to pick from, and only $1.50 for four plants, like four of those little cells. That's a pretty good price, right? So we were looking, and we met a man. This is just story time, y'all, so we're just going to build what happened to us. And so this man begins to talk to us, and you could tell he was a man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was a man, a farmer, a country man, aged is often really honorable to be around, because they got the stories, or they got the silence, but they got the peace, you know, not that he has the Prince of Peace or Jesus or the Messiah, but he just had that, I done been there, done that, and all that's left is just a smile kind of mind. And so 87, he said he was. 87, and he was gathering his plants, and one of the things that he said to us that made us laugh was, I got to stop lying, because I say every year that I'm not going to plant nothing else, and I've been saying it for 20. And so that got us to talking. Do you remember how long he said he'd been married to his wife?
Over about 63 years.
Uh-huh, 67.
67, okay.
Because he did give us a lot of numbers. 67, I tried to retain that because I'm like, wow, 67, Nadia, can you imagine? Yes. How old are you?
18,
yes. So he has been married 67, and so that opened up the conversation as we were all just walking and looking at plants. That opened up us talking about how marriage is accepted now, man to man, woman to woman, and how his disagreement is really strong. His disagreement is really strong. So then he said, do you remember the political comment that he made? Please, this is interesting because this revealed his true heart, that like if he could speak to you about the Democrats so honestly to a black woman and make this statement, then he had a pretty pure heart. So go ahead.
Right. He said that he used to be a Democrat years and years ago. And then he realized that the Democrats were the ones who were making the black people, or keeping the black people down and poor.
That's it.
Continually taking their money.
But
keeping them down.
Right. And that's how, because see, in the South, that's how it was flipped. A lot of them, they try to say that the Klan and all of that came out of them, but this is the way the people, they used to be Democrats long time ago until, and see, it was a shift that changed in there. So what we're seeing now, even he's disgusted in what he's seeing now.
As a non-believing white,
right.
87-year-old man. Yeah.
Right. Right. They all, they all see it. Everybody sees the problem, but nobody has an answer or a solution.
Mm-hmm. And in his talk, he was explaining Satan.
Yeah.
He just didn't say the word Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He's noticing, basically the prince of the power of the air.
Yes.
Gripping the minds, making such change, teaching things they ought not.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the thing that he said everyone should refrain from? Do you remember? It would be college.
Yes. Sure did.
Yes,
wow.
He was like, college will teach you things you should have never known.
Wow.
So I bring that up. Would anybody, and you can stay silent if you don't want to answer. I said that before the show. I didn't want to, force anyone to communicate tonight because sometimes you just want to listen. But would anybody say that you had any racism prior to the faith?
Yes.
Yes? We had a yes? Yeah, can you speak a little bit, like if I say, was it because of what had been done to you or whatever, background, childhood, was it because of your sight on what you can see is happening, white supremacy is being manifest, what was it like?
When you say experience, you mean in our own lives, right?
Yeah, no, did you believe it? Was you ever racist?
No, I didn't understand it.
Okay, you didn't understand it. So, but you experienced it.
Yeah.
How?
I've experienced it everywhere from school to just everyday function with purchasing goods or anything out there in the world.
Yes.
All the time.
And I'm white and I'm a minority in this room. So that's my first time like kind of scanning and noticing that. We're very mixed people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so has anyone experienced racism? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Loud?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And so, how about in the church?
Yes.
Yes? The segregation, separation in the church, we had a yes. Yes?
Yes?
Yeah, two yeses. Okay, so here is completely different, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Like, wow. A sister who is another white by skin flesh, right? That's what this generation, we are the nation, if we can say, of Israel. Grafted in, born in, don't matter, accepted, right? Accepted and beloved by the Most High Yah and sealed with His Holy Spirit. So that's our avenue. So I have another white sister that says, that what is that comment that says you don't see color, right? And she really said it well when she said, we all see everyone's color, but I just don't see my own.
Yeah.
I said, oh, that's it. When you don't see your own,
yeah.
Of course, okay, Sammy, yes, you're darker than me. Duh, I look at you every day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you see the
yeah.
color. But that really made impact. Like, oh, yes, it's your own that you don't pay any attention to.
Hard to see yourself.
When you, yeah. And so let's jump back to churchianity for a minute, right? So we might be all over the place. Wait, was anyone into politics? I don't know, because I wasn't into them. So how would I ask the question, Mother Jennifer?
Was
anyone into politics? Yes?
No.
You want to raise your finger?
No, I mean, I...
Yes.
We have
one of my
three.
Favorite discussions. I still love, you know...
It was your favorite discussion?
Right, being politically mm-hmm. aware and all
oh,
that.
Really?
Kind of just,
politically aware, you too. What was your political awareness based on CNN?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did you? Yes. We're really
BET.
BET. You too? BET. Was it you? Second vote?
No.
BET was not. Where was your political background?
My political background was what I saw from where I'm from.
Well, okay.
That was the political background
and you?
That I needed because what's being taught on CNN and all that stuff is so
important.
Right.
We do know a sister in the ministry that did an internship at Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
All
okay,
right.
So what we have is a large following coming out of her
mm-hmm.
with all this scat in the mind.
Right, yes.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
That's the focus.
Yes.
You know, humorous now, but when someone's listening that may be coming out of it, they got to be noticing the freedom,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Freedom
Hallelujah.
Doesn't come any other time or way,
mm-hmm.
but then the acknowledgement of the truth shall set you free,
yes.
right?
Hallelujah.
Okay, so you found, and I remember your story, you found a video of pastor with a bandana and a pitchfork.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically remember that day.
Yes.
If I wasn't holding the camera, I was really close.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was when we were much smaller, and he was shoveling mulch
yes.
up underneath the dining hall area.
In front of the shower house.
Front of the shower house
yes.
area. Okay,
exactly.
One of those. Yes,
mm-hmm.
one of those. And so if you just want to briefly revisit that experience, what was it like?
Well, I had...
And can you just for a moment be truthful? Like if it was, what the, you know, or whatever that emotional expression inside you was, be truthful for me, okay? Don't hold back because we're live.
Yes, okay. Well, I had just was hearing somebody teach saying, given like 7 signs or 10 signs that you have a carnal pastor or preacher. And one of them was that he...
I have never heard such a thing.
Yes, that he uses profanity.
Oh.
So this is what I'm, you know, listening
locked
to.
In.
Right. So somebody was telling me about, you know, Pastor Dow, and I remember this was on when I was trying to keep the Shabbat. And I said, well, let me tune in, you know, listen to them live. And I remember listening, and then I think I heard him say, damn. What?
I wish you could see her face listening
yes.
because she's looking over her shoulder,
you know,
like something's going to come again.
Right. So then I think the next, it was like, shit. I mean, I heard all of these at one time. And then I heard him say, ass. Look, and I said, what the hell?
You said the only acceptable Christian word.
So I'm not trying to be funny, you know. So I'm like, okay, this is, I say, Father, you know, and I'm looking at this, really, Father? You know, I said, I like this guy, really. And just out of the blue, I don't know if it was that week or whatever, this YouTube popped up. And here he was, this man with a bandana, blue, you know, sitting there with a pitchfork like this,
preaching.
And I saw the thing, cuss words. I was like, oh, here we go. And I'm clicking on thinking that I'm getting ready to hear this man like go, what the fuck? You know, like he was, and it was nothing right. And then I started to listen more, you know, and people say, you know, well, what kind of preacher would say those kind of words or just say that, you know?
Yeah.
So a damn good one.
Yeah. And so raise your hand if you had any hesitations early on. I'll just give a count. Just one? Two? Two hesitations? Maybe three? Mm-hmm. Three hesitations. Do you want to share what it was, hesitation? Or do you even remember? Because sometimes we get past our hesitation and we go, she said that part.
Anybody
so, no, she doesn't remember.
Anybody remember?
Oh, yeah, same. Same, the cuss words, the language. What about you, Sister Bonnie?
No, I was just taking aback about how...
Go ahead, speak up.
Truthful pastor is, like, he's very direct, and that's what initially took me aback, but I said, Father, he's telling the truth. It was not fabricated or made up.
Mm-hmm.
It was blunt and direct and to the point, and that's what, ooh, okay, but I received it, because it's the truth. Every bit of it, every message that I heard for the first time, I actually had listened to him comparing Christianity to Hebrew Israelites. And I kept thinking, my first initial thought was, wow, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Christ. And that's all it took for me. But again, getting past the idea of what the truth was, it, you know, initially it was like, oof. But then I received it. And it was life-changing.
And how many of you recognized how maybe, how soft you were?
Yeah.
Like in a bad way, soft, you know, because as women we should be soft and we should be tender, you know, but I'm meaning, you know, just how easily something disturbs you, right? And so, okay, we're climbing a ladder is what we're doing for each of you to know kind of where we're all coming from and the voices that you're listening to, because I know them in this room, doesn't mean you do. And so we're climbing. You're hearing our background. You're hearing the things that are similar or not. And so jumping back to Christianity, you did pray, and you did read the Bible, and you come up from a different, you're the oldest in the room, so a different generation, okay? But for everyone else, did you read the Bible?
Yeah.
Okay. We asked that. I think I had two yeses already. Did you pray?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, when something was wrong, very good, because that is a Christian way. When something's wrong, you pray. When something's not wrong, you don't know how, and you don't know what to say. And praise for what, you know? Give them praise for what? Thank them for what? I have nothing, right? Gentile mind. Okay, so some of us, minimal, read the Bible and prayed. About everybody went to some kind of church and church hopped. Now we're out and we're here. Did anyone keep the feast days?
No.
No, across the board, 100%. Did anyone hear of them?
No.
So a couple of yeses, mostly no's. Louder, did you hear of feast days?
No.
Okay, so you see the yeses are drowned out. And so from the Pentecostal background, where supposedly the Holy Spirit flows, and supposedly the gifts flow, and supposedly, whatever, because I've never experienced Pentecostal church ever, what is Pentecostal church versus Pentecost, the feast of, or just the feast in general? That's a very broad topic. Do I need to say anything, or you already have an answer? You want me to narrow it down?
Well, Pentecostal church, that's an organization. You know, that's man. It's a title. It's a religion.
Robotic.
Right. It's man-made. Mm-hmm. Or, you know.
Yes.
Just like Baptists, man-made.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's organization. They're organizations, corporations, now that we know that. Mm-hmm. Pentecost is spirit.
The Father.
The Father.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so the Pentecostal church being the foundation and being more robotic would also be like customs, traditions, passed down, your mama went, your daddy went, or your grandma went, or like you said, my grandma and grandpa were pastors,
mm-hmm.
right? So you just kind of grew up doing whatever somebody else did anyway. And so how was y'all's experience putting a head cover on? Can you say easy out loud if it was easy, and hard if it was hard? Go ahead.
Hard.
Wow,
medium.
Medium. So yeah, probably the more that you maybe saw others,
yes,
it gave
yes.
you strength. For some, it was easy. Yeah, some even down to wow, I don't have to maintain my hair every single day. You
yes,
know, condition it, fix it, put it up. Not that we're telling on ourselves on that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so head cover. What about the skirt? Hard or easy?
Easy.
Well,
hard.
Okay.
Hard.
Very hard. Okay.
Hard.
Why would it be hard, Sakina?
What?
while I was in Harden. Never saw one, never what?
Well, it didn't make sense. Like, how am I supposed to move? How am I supposed to run and do this?
And you can move easier and better. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, because I work, you know, as a chef, there's no skirts, there's no dresses, none of that. You know, safety has it for safety reasons. You don't want it to get caught on a pan and you get burnt by hot grease, but it didn't make sense. I was like, I got to work out, and how am I supposed to be just confined in this little skirt? Like, it didn't make sense.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I remember Mother Stallings, who would be, probably, would she be close to 90 now? She was still living, hasn't been gone long from the earth. But she had never wore pants in her life.
Wow.
So that's how far removed. So you have the man who we met at the greenhouse or the nursery that was 87, would have grown up as a small boy when there were still sharecroppers,
mm-hmm.
to now transgenders. You see how drastic, whoa, in just 87 years, like fast forward, right? We're there. Those who struggle with their sexuality in your Christian church, in your experience, in your day?
Yes.
Were they behind the instruments?
Yes. I mean, they were, it was taboo.
Mm-hmm.
It was taboo, and I said how you see things, because remember, homosexuality used to be a crime.
And a mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Right. It used to be a crime.
And it still is, if you know the law. Good job.
You know, and this is one story I think I told Deacon, and I really, and this is no disrespect, and I don't mean for this to be funny or whatever. But with me hearing about this, there was this family. They're much older than it. And some of the men in their family, they were come to find out they were that way. And my mother was saying that this man had come to church. He was sitting on the front. And he was sitting up there. He just kept crying and crying and crying. And all of the people, they were giving him these evil looks. Then the preacher just jumps up and said, oh, why don't you all just forgive the man? So we were going like, well, Mama, what's he forgiven for? Well, he got arrested last night because he was caught in the car with a man.
Yeah.
You know, see how just, and that's what I'm saying, it was a crime.
Yeah.
He was crying because.
He was busted.
Right, he was busted. He was humiliated.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know. So, see, back then, you know, it was a crime, but also they had a shame about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that shame is gone,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, no shame.
No shame.
So, I guess I could ask, I'm trying to see what yes and no questions scan my mind, you know, to my audience here. Were you ashamed of your condition prior to the faith?
Yes, no.
Okay, so one yes, mostly no. Mostly because you didn't even know your condition, right?
Yes,
which we
yes.
bear witness to that. You didn't know your condition, so being shame-faced was, like, unheard of, right?
Yes.
Who says shame-faced?
Right.
Who says modest apparel?
Right.
Who says holiness? Although maybe they said it but didn't live it in some assemblies. Let's see. What else could you share about some of the books you read, like Purpose Driven Life? What did it offer you?
Well, this is when I finally made up my mind that I was not going back to the church. So I was going to bookstores, and I was trying to just get my hands on anything, any kind of truth. I was just hungry, just anything. To find out, you know, about the Father, and I would come home from work, and I would sit at my dining room table, and I would just sit there for hours, and I would read, and I would write down the scriptures or whatever. And I remember somebody was telling me about this book. They said, oh, it's life-changing, you know. And for some strange reason, when I started just going through all of these books, the Father was showing me things, but what he was showing me were his scriptures that they would use as reference. Because every time they would put a scripture reference down, that's what I was going reading and researching. I didn't know. So I'm thinking that these books were, you know, being impactful,
you know, on
it
me.
It was his word. That
but it was
saying.
His word
yes.
that, you know, he had started pouring in. And then you one thing leads to another. Then I'm starting to hear about, it wasn't like really Hebrew Israelites, but it was this Torah. I'm hearing about these laws, the things that are forbidden that we've been doing. And then I started hearing this man said that everybody who was at Mount Sinai, whatever, those laws were for them. So that was for everybody, you know. So I'm so happy now because I'm thinking I'm Jewish because that's what he was saying, that Jew comes from Judah.
Jew comes from Judah.
Right. So
okay, let's bring up our mm-hmm. Jewish experience, though it might have been short. What was a Jew in your Jewish church?
So they did separate the people. There was white people that were they would call Jewish, and then on the other side they would separate. I want to say the Hebrews. They were covered, and they were all black really too. And they would even have Pastor's Appreciation there too, which was confusing.
So but Hebrews.
It was very short.
Okay, your short experience. Okay, has anyone ever had to get rid of a book that you used to read, that come into the faith, you cleaned out your bookshelf, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, we got some yeses, okay. And you said, let's go back to your book experience mm-hmm. and how you're reading, how you're studying. Why is it important that you got rid of those books? Why is it important that you dug out anything and threw it out? So if I'm the first time listening, why would I need to go to my shelf and look? Or why can't I read anything? I'm a woman. I'm grown. You know, I can buy what I want, look at what I want. And so here we're guarded and we're protected mm-hmm. and we're keeping ourselves in the fear of the Most High. Mm-hmm. But that's new for some. So reading is, what do they say? Like reading Rainbow and all those other.
Fundamental.
So it's fundamental. Shouldn't we all be reading? Why did you get rid? And why can't you read everything now?
Because what I was reading was their other people's opinions that they had put over the word of Yah.
And conflicts with the word.
Right, and conflicts with the word of Yah. Even now, you won't believe how many deliverance manuals or books that I have now that I get. And I can go through pages, and I have a big X cross and have on there lie.
On the catalog.
Right, just right, you know, lie, you know, these, and this is in deliverance books, you
uh-huh.
know, respectable names,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of these, they're against the commandments. And I'm going to give one name, Derek Prince. Do you know Derek Prince said that he cast out a demon in a woman, and the demon was not eating pork? This woman, she believed that eating pork was real. I mean, was wrong, was an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
And he cast a spirit out of her that was telling her that she could not eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, somebody who...
Okay, so for any confusion that might have been created,
mm-hmm.
what are you saying is right, that we believe and support in this ministry?
That eating pork is an abomination.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, what type of... And if he's calling that a spirit...
Mm-hmm. And so-called calling it out.
Right, and calling it out.
Causing it confusion, yes.
Right. Saying that we can't keep the commandments. You know, that the Most High, you know, he fulfilled all of that.
And would it even make sense that he would send his son to do away with the
right.
thing he created, right? Would
right.
it make sense that
so,
his son would fulfill?
Right. So I'm looking at a lot of these, you read these books, you know, of course, you're going to have to choose me, but it's very, the more the Father removes the scales from your eyes, the meat is becoming, like, minute.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of bones, you know, because these are our laws now. So this is Israel's time. You know, the scepter is with Judah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are the lawgivers, the teachers of this. So now we step up you know, because what we had to learn off just the basics were from workers of iniquity, because that's all they are.
And to the Black Hebrew Israelites, we get accused of being just as Christians, mainly because there's still the acceptance of the white man, as they say in their doctrine, but just really the mixed multitude that we walk in. So how can you tell me from your 50 years in Christianity that we are just like them, similar to them, or none at all, not at all?
Not at all. First, we have holiness. Now in Christianity, go back to years ago, and that was only if you were in a holiness church. When you went out, you would be able to see with the visible eye, and you can tell, say, oh, she must be sanctified. Look at the way she's dressed. You know, you see dresses down over her knees or whatever. So there was a difference between holiness and profane. Now there's not. Even in Hebrew Israelite, there's a difference between us and look at some of these feast days that they have. You know, it's a prom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it's just they're in. They, you know, are in the fancy hotels. You know, they're taking the pictures with just bedazzled, bejeweled, bewitched, you know. They're singing the Christian songs. They're not singing new songs. You know, they have choirs up there singing what Christians sing. And then they go back out in the world. So there's even a difference between the elect and the very elect. Black Hebrew Israelites, I don't even think fall into either category. It's just another organization.
It reminds me a lot of Esau, who was jealous of his brother
Jacob.
Yes,
always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always fighting, always contentious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have no, they don't have the signs of Yah following them. You know, absence of Yah is so prevalent, you know. You hear no healings.
So, yes or no from the crowd, have you ever been healed here?
Yes.
Have you ever been healed in Christianity?
No.
All right. Exactly. All right. So back to your thoughts.
Right. Speaking of Christianity, the big thing is funerals. That's the next big thing for Christianity, funerals.
Which is no longer a funeral. What do they call it? Celebration of life. Right?
Sick people.
Everybody.
Right.
Everybody goes to heaven, and they're looking down from a better place. What a theory, huh?
Yeah, it was, you know, oh, man. I don't know, I've told Mother Jennifer, I believe, or Sister Bonnie, because we take walks to the cemetery, and I find it quite peaceful or whatever, and I saw this thing on social media. And the cemeteries, even when you're coming here, they're so beautiful, the flowers and the tombs, the shrines and everything.
Shrines, yes.
To give the people that are left behind, to give them peace, you know, to put them at peace. And it was like a cartoon picture. And they had this lady over the grave, you know, the flowers and everything. It had R.I.P., I guess one of her loved ones, and she's looking up. They're in a better place. But then on the cartoon right up under it, you saw what was going on under that grave. Those demons were down there beating this daylight, torturing.
In real fact,
but up above.
The shrine.
Right. They're in a better place now. No more sickness.
Both of them looking up.
Right. No more sorrow. No more, right. You know, one looking up and the other one down there looking up trying to get out.
I'm going to go back around the room. What was your, if any, afterlife thoughts? We'll start with you. What was your afterlife thoughts? Heaven, hell, yes, it's real, or no, or thought about where you were going?
Yes, I always thought about, you know, going. Where I always wanted to go, right.
Automatically believe you were going to heaven, right?
I wanted to have hope. Yeah. And it, you know what? And at one point, when I would say I would like really try to get my life together, uh-huh. just because I was praying and reading the word and stuff, you know, uh-huh. I just knew, you know, that I was going to heaven.
You just knew, yes.
But then again, I believed it, you know, that I, my cats and animals, that I was going to see them there too. So I wasn't playing with a full deck either.
And some of you are young, right? But maybe you had an idea of it. Did you believe one way or the other you were going to heaven or hell?
I thought I was going to hell if I didn't. Because I knew the things that I did that were bad. And I knew the habits I had that were bad.
And you wanted to get them right.
Yes, I wanted to get it right.
Hallelujah. What about you?
I thought I was going to heaven.
You thought you were going to heaven. What about you?
I thought I was going to heaven if I went to church.
Hallelujah. What about you?
I'm the same as Tammy's. I just thought I was going to go to hell if I didn't get it right.
So you had that push to get it right. What about Chef?
I didn't care.
Didn't care. I had a lot of those in my, you know, growing up. Depends on your ethnic background or your education or your family or just wherever you were at. So there was a lot of youth in my social connections. What about Bonnie? Will you come forward just a little bit? Thank you.
I'm sorry. I definitely believed in heaven and hell, and I knew that I was praying the Father would send me to heaven, but I knew the life that I led was not worthy of that. So I was constantly in turmoil with my own self, but definitely believed in
hoping you would go. Didn't know if you
knew
could.
I was wrong in my sin, and the Father helped me find a way out.
And much more hopeful now.
Yes, God, yes.
That you're living on your knees, right? Yes. Come on, Mother Jennifer. A question I've never asked you, though the list is long.
Ashley, I was saved by grace. I went to church every Sunday. So I was saved by grace in my eyes, and I was going to heaven because I went to church every Sunday.
Even with habits and,
yes.
As you shared before, alcoholism,
yes.
or.
Yes.
Yes. Still going,
yes.
Right?
The blood of Jesus covered everything.
Yes.
Grace.
Yeah.
But you see the warped thinking,
uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, the blood of Jesus covers everything, but my thinking was so messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was saved by grace, but I truly took it for granted.
Yes.
Same.
Yes. Same.
Let me bring this one thing.
Yes, speak up.
That Mother Jennifer says in Christianity. I don't know if anybody ever heard of this, and this is one thing that I've heard it preached at funerals and given to people on their dying bed, this thief on the cross religion.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I've never heard that.
And
is
that
term?
Was always going to be my backup,
yeah.
You know?
Hold on. Pause. Please come forward. Sit the body to the mic. We'll have a seat right here. I actually wanted to bring up the cross, really. I did. Okay. So the thief on the cross, you're going to explain, and we'll go back to Mama Jar's. I thought, okay, what is thief on the cross? What's that? What's going on?
Okay.
I've never heard of it. Brand new.
Okay, so thief on the cross, from my understanding, in the Baptist church, Pentecostal church, you know, you go to a funeral and the preachers are preaching and remember Christ on the cross. There were two men on either side of him. One man recognized who he was. Father, if you have me in your kingdom again, remember me in your kingdom. The other gentleman on the other side said something along the lines of, if you, the real Christ, take us down off of this cross. So you had an option. One person who showed repentance and believing in the Father. Another, if you are him, take us all off of this cross. So that's the last day on your dying bed, you have a choice to choose between.
All the way to the end.
Right.
Okay.
And he still says, no matter what you've done, I'm on this cross. You can take me down at any point. Or, Father, whoever you are, remember me in heaven. So that was my understanding of it. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
And it really, if you, I'm sure on the other end, maybe you can go, this is a lot of confusion.
Yes.
And this is only 10 women. You know, you put 100 together or 500 together or put America together, and you hear the minds and the justification and the this is what I thought and this is what was going on. This is why it's a lot of every man was right in his own eyes, period.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so please stay seated right there, and let's go back to you with your experience and just your thief on the cross talk. Go ahead.
Right, so it was like they were saying, well, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?
Mm-hmm.
And well, the word says, if you believe and you confess with your mouth, you know, you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people I know on their deathbed, you know, went to hell with that confession.
So pause. Did anyone go to the altar?
Oh, yeah.
Yes or no? Say loud.
Yes.
How many went more than once?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so we have a hands raised. So what was the altar experience, Mama Jaja?
Well, this is such the young people. We would go to the, they had an altar call every Sunday. And when we would go, you know, the preacher would come up there and, you know, we would, our disclaimer was, no, we not up here to get saved. We just want prayer.
Okay.
And that's all, you know, like this to
remember
cover
when you
us.
Were little, what did your mama say? Better not go up there, remember?
Oh, yeah. Just
she told you, better not go up there.
Right. You know, stop, you know, playing around and just, uh-huh. You know, because she even, like, I had an older sister, half-sister, she even got snatched up from the altar.
Like, get you. Why are you, right? Why are you sitting there? All
right.
So let's
right.
Flip it back to this way. Us, here we are. So there's a ton of emotions that happen in women's hearts when they come across the word. But for us, legitimately being the ones who are changed and transformed and becoming new and learning so much and embracing it, that makes us the willing voices, by the way. We don't have any contention or dissension in the room. So coming to the Father and I guess embracing repentance and really finding a love with it, you know, because he says he gives us the opportunity to, you know. And so I guess what can you – I'll go around the room. As you've learned to repent, as you've learned to pray, how precious is it to you, or what's it been like for you? Is it the beauty or the ugliness? You know, is it raw? Is it real? Is it wonderful? Is it horrible? Is it beautiful tragedy? Is it? Well, tell me your experience. Yeah, we're here. Mother Jennifer, come on up.
Mm-hmm. Now, with repentance, I think the experience, you know, you get the ugly stuff out. And I think the beauty in it is beautiful because I can be real with the Father. I can say all the ugly stuff. I can say the stuff that is really ugly to hear just so that my heart can be right. So that's the, it is ugly and it's beautiful at the same time.
Yes, very good. So same for you, learning it.
So for me, coming into the truth, I find my prayers to be very much so more intentional. Like before in the Christian church, you know, I did a lot of pleading and forgive me, Father, with no real true repentance in mind. But now I know that.
You want to change.
Yes. And I have, there's no room, my elder says, no room for excuses, zero excuses. You know what you need to pray about. There's no need to discuss it. Just get on your knees, get on your face, ask the Father to forgive and move forward and truly act on the change you're looking for.
Yes. Repentance thoughts from you?
Yes, you know, I repent all, just would I just come into the presence of the Father because, you know, he says, you know, our righteousness, so I tell him, I have no righteousness of my own, you know, to offer up. You know, my righteousness is through Christ Jesus. And a lot of times, you know, once I started learning, being taught how to be holy, how to be a woman, which we never knew, I find myself going back repenting for being a bad daughter, mm-hmm. being a bad sister, being a bad wife, just being a horrible woman, you know, just over and over again, because that's what I was. Now I know coming into the truth that a person can really change, but only the Father can do it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Only the Father can.
I say definitely specific prayers. Now that in the truth I know, you know, what's really wrong and what's really right, I know what to ask for forgiveness for and what to pray for. So that's a blessing.
Problem solution.
Yes.
What about you?
I agree. It's definitely like just being able to get past all those really horrible things, bad habits that you have, and being able to just confess it and, Father, I do this and I hate that I do it, but can you just take it from me? And I need your help, and just him being able to feel him too. Mm-hmm. That, like, I never could, like, I didn't pray in Christianity because I never, feeling him is so, it's different, like, when you can pray and then you can confess, but you know he's there, like, it's just beautiful. It's very beautiful.
Yes, it's a communion, the real communion, another Christian term that they've defiled.
Right.
Yes. What about you? You were very young anyway when your mother and father brought you out, so you've just learned and followed their example of their repentance and them turning and them denying. So when you were a little girl, you would have known a little bit about a Christmas tree, right? And you had to, what was your experience like? You know, let me pause for a second. So you were a young child that had to deny the gifts of under the tree, you know, and Easter and the eggs and the things that you may have done really small. And so a common expression is the children. What about the children here? You know, they don't get those things. And there are those children that it angers them and they miss it. And they miss their football and their basketball and their games on the Saturday. And they miss whatever, the family and the trees and the somebody back home or whatever. But in your case, that wasn't it, right? So what was, it's almost like asking you is like, what can I even ask you? Because you just followed, right? You just followed, so you don't have the experience.
I felt like the change, my father, like coming
father,
up,
yeah.
I saw him like changing and it made me be like, whoa. He's not the same person. I gotta like I need to see this too. Like I want to go with you where you're going. You
yes, know? And so I don't think that's a lot. That's a double honor to your father because I don't think if a mother or father begins this way and starts to confess this way and the truth, but doesn't change, I don't think they would yield such a great result because it would be a lot of confusion, right? So you're the seed of strength and someone's, you know, coming out, being different. So, okay, let's make our round to you, your journey of repentance.
Well, it's definitely needed for me personally every single day because it's easy as a blink to just get taken away and without hitting your knees every single morning throughout throughout the day.
You lose focus.
Yes.
What else? Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off. I meant to, you know, yeah, agree.
I just touch and agree with my sisters all in all.
Yes. And you know what's interesting? So we have 10 of us in here, right? So let's do the multiplication again. So you have 10, and then you have 50s and 60s and hundreds or whoever, however many that are really, truly repenting. And so now you can look around and feel a little bit better about doing your role. Like, we're all repenting. Mm-hmm. Oh, so I don't got to feel bad, Tammy.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
part of the journey is I call you to repent, the Father, repentance, the Father says, and you repent.
Yes.
Can we do that cycle, please?
Definitely.
You know, it's like he's communicating that way. So it's not a condemn.
Right.
No, you look at the other ones and you say, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Yes, he has sons, he has daughters. Yes,
okay.
And we're definitely, would everyone say yes or no, you're a daughter of the Most High Yah?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes, whoever it may be, with their doctrine or their, you know, even the black Hebrew Israelite that doesn't accept me, for
right.
example, can they really take that away?
No,
can they
no.
really take away that
no,
I'm, you know,
no.
that I'm sealed? No, not at all. So, hey, let's hit a ministry break, and we'll be right back. Hope you love our dialogue. If you have questions, now is the time. If you have call-ins, now is the time, 310-982-4226. If you enjoy it, if you have a question for anyone in this room, if you want to say thank you, type it in. Send an email even. We will read your emails instantly, all lowercase, straightwayhelpme@gmail.com. Let's hear our new song, please.
Renew your mind. Let love prevail.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High YAH. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr.
Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are back. Bless you, Sister Wenda. Oh, gosh, we can name so many shout-outs, couldn't we? Some of you we will see this weekend. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, a couple different things. We got an email, just one, a thank you. So, come read. Mother Jennifer. I'm glad Mother Jennifer came, aren't
y'all? Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you for having me. The email says, thank you for tonight's show. Blessing sisters, for the show tonight, your testimonials about your history and churchianity is very similar to my own. Hallelujah for us learning the truth and being led to this ministry. Blessings and shalom, family.
Hallelujah. This can really encourage relationship building amongst women. It really can. Yeah. You see the similarities, you know, and just we should have some fear. If you have any age on you at all, you should have some fear about those that are, have three of you not married, watching all of us and learning, and we should have some fear about teaching them the wrong way. Because just as we spoke earlier, when the mother and the father follows, they say one thing and they live it, you get good seed, right? So we don't want to be the professors with our mouth and show them another way. We don't, because it is about that next generation. Can we all say thank you, Pastor Dow?
Thank you, Pastor Dow.
Hallelujah. And to all the men that follow him, thank you for showing the way. So a couple different terms. Ever heard of before the way? Before the way, okay. Yes. Have you ever heard of polygyny?
Yes.
We got one yes, some no's. Polyandry?
Yes.
Mostly no's. One yes, okay. Two yeses. What about patriarchy?
No.
No? But have you heard, Mother Jennifer, I'm going to put you on the spot for a second. Pull up a song or a line of a song that says the word cross in it. You got one that comes to heart? Like, pick up your... Hit it. I want you to sing a line. All right, so we're gonna try something right here, y'all. Okay, we got a lot of no's when we ask some biblical questions here. So let's see if Mother Jennifer can sing a line.
Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die. And find that I may truly live.
Hallelujah. So, ever heard of the cross, y'all?
Yes, ma'am.
You did?
Uh-huh. Yes.
You ever heard of the cross? Yes. You ever wore one on your shirt?
Yes.
Yes. You ever had one on the back of your car?
Yes.
No, not the car.
Didn't go there. That was too much, huh? What about the fish? You saw the little Christian fish? You knew who that was associated with, right?
No.
Didn't know who it was associated with, but you saw it.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chef, you're the only one from the streets, so the fish didn't make it there.
Right.
And so, y'all, we have heard of the fish and the cross. We've been entertained by the music, but we ain't heard
patriarchy.
No.
Is that right?
No.
Never? That's new to the ears, huh?
Right, yeah.
So there's a lot of newness.
Yeah.
There's a lot of newness. So let's say, has every truth been easy to embrace?
Yes or no?
No.
Yeah. All right. Louder, yes or no?
No.
A lot of no's drowning out the yeses,
right?
No, depends on your experience.
Yes. Okay. And so 50 years in Christianity and you can change?
Yes.
And you can embrace the truth?
Yes.
That's none but his mercy, huh?
Yes.
And God-fearing life, if I can use the word God-fearing life, yes. So now you're embracing the feast, you're keeping the feast, you're here with your family at the feast.
Yes, sir.
You got any problem with a white man being here?
No, ma'am.
You support Elder Becker?
1,000%.
Hallelujah. As a leader and a white man?
As a Hebrew man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Teaching you the way, huh?
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If anybody has anything as we go forward, right, because we're just kind of waiting on phone calls, going to give a few more feedbacks. If y'all have anything, just raise your hand. Something comes to mind, okay? Going back to our thoughts, Pentecostal versus Pentecost. Is there any similarity, Bonnie?
No, just another job to define it. It's an organization. And matter of fact, I know more of Pentecostal in Kojak. God in Christ. It's a whole movement. You know, you have the events every year. You have the conferences.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole lifestyle. And I can relate when we're speaking about wearing the hair coverings and the skirts. That's all I did. My hair back in a bud. I didn't wear makeup. That was not a part of our culture in the Pentecostal church. We wore long skirts. I didn't cover my hair. But coming into the truth, it was not difficult for me to wear hair scarves and long skirts because I had done it for the majority of my life in the Pentecostal Holiness Church. So, yeah.
Topics like this make us one. Can you tell?
Yes.
Yes. That's not about you or what you've known or what mommy and daddy said. Okay, let's go around. I wanna ask each of you. You'll say something like this. My dad, probably not Nadia, right? But you'll say my dad and my mom, but you'll fill in the blank. So I'll start with me. I'll give you an example. My dad was a hard worker, rarely home, and the breadwinner, but my mom ruled the house. Okay, so you're going to just state your home experience in that, okay? So you kind of pick.
Okay, so my mom, well, let me, out of order. My dad was not a part of my life in any capacity. My mom was absolutely the matriarch, and she led her home in her own way.
Okay, so you were raised in a single?
Single-parent home, yes, my mother.
Home, okay. And you, your story?
My mother was Jesus.
Oh, to you? Or to her?
Yeah. It to hurry.
So dad wasn't around?
No.
Not at all? Mm-mm. Okay.
My grandmother was the matriarch here. She was patriarchal as well. And my grandfather was, he was very weak.
Weak?
Yes.
Passive?
Passive, very,
yes.
Very
didn't
passive.
Challenge her?
Never. And then my mom, once I stayed with her, my dad, not there that much. Once I stayed with my mom, she was the same as my grandmother.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So far, we have 3 melanated women without their fathers.
Yes.
Okay. There's a pattern. All right.
So four haven't had a father or a mother. Grandparents raised me for the most part.
That is such a curse. That
yeah.
is such a perpetual curse, constantly and continually on the Hebrew people,
mm-hmm.
that the grandmother raised, right? Okay, what about you?
So my father was there in the beginning and my mother when I was very young, and then they both eventually separated, and I was raised by other people, like cousins or friends and just people that I knew, the streets.
Yes, typical in some areas anyway, a typical black home.
Yeah,
for the most part, stereotypical, I should say. Yeah, whoever.
My father was in the home, and he worked very hard. He worked a lot of overtime. He grew up poor, and so he worked hard to make sure that we had what he didn't have. So he worked hard to make sure that we had the best schooling, that we lived in the best home, and, you know, everything was material. My mother was home, but she ended up being kind of the patriarch because my father wasn't physically present a lot.
Okay. And
Last, what about you? Home experience.
Well, I don't, you know, my father, no, he wasn't there. He fathered a lot of children and was non-existent in most of our lives.
So he brought them into the world and left them? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Didn't fulfill his duties as a father. And my mom by herself was, doing everything she can, so she worked a lot, and she just made sure that she maintained the roof over me and my little sister had, and pretty much the streets raised me, so.
Hallelujah. Can you come here? I'm just going to ask you a yes or no question. You ready? Here she comes. First time on the show. Is your mama home?
Yes.
Yes? Is your daddy home? Yes. Do they both help teach you?
Yes.
Do you love Pastor Dow? Hallelujah. Thank
Hallelujah.
You. See the difference in the generation? Can we get a hand clap?
Hallelujah.
All right. So, you know, where I was from, here, I'm the only one from here. What does here mean? The place where you all abide, or most, you know, some of y'all abide now. Yeah, Lafitte. What's the story of the Lafitte and Lafayette? Y'all want to know the humor between me and Pastor all these years ago that he and I have not? I yielded. I yielded to his, you know, he wasn't born here, so I used to mess with him about the pronunciation, because, you know, you feel like you can represent, right, when you're from somewhere. So that was just a daughter-dad kind of thing early on. But it was, it's not La, because it wasn't discovered by the French.
Yeah.
And anytime the French discovered things early on, they would stick their tag of La. So they used to have a capital F, and they made it a small one, so that you wouldn't pronounce it La. So it's Lafitte. Lafitte. That's how the people who,
they
you know.
Tell you.
Yeah, they will tell you. Like, you are going to, you are not from here if you say it wrong. Kind of like, you know, any other place around the world. You go there and they know you're a tourist. So here we are, labeled all kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
Labeled all kinds of things from my early getting here, moving to the community, wanting to tell one of my high school friends, and y'all heard the story. Someone listening tonight has not, so I repeat stories a lot. But that's that place that got all them guns preparing for a revolution? I don't think so. I'm like, I'm literally oblivious. When I tell y'all naive and oblivious, like, because I have never, born and raised here, graduated college, what, 2001? The community moved to this town in 1999, something like that, 98, 99. I had never heard, for 2 years, I guess they were safe from rumors. At least it never got to me. Graduated high school, left, moved, you know, played ball, did my own thing. Never would have came back if it wasn't for this community. Mm-hmm. Never would have lived in Lafitte. Yeah, never. And so, yeah, it's La. Pastor going to give me a hard time, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But here we all are at this place where every sort of label in someone's imagination is probably on them, you know, or at their tongues. Satan really tries to fabricate, you know, fabricate. And if you hadn't been here and you hadn't experienced us or seen us or looked at us, it's easy to fear, right, with the lies, I'm sure, that's out there. But then when you're safe from the lies and you're a part of it, you just have no clue what's going on out there, right? So there's different perspectives of that. But for me, because I didn't have the lie in my mind, it was very easy to accept this way, right? Maybe my war would have been different if I had to tear down those thoughts that I had of who Pastor was and, you know, a tyrannical misogynist who just loves women and whatever. Those are very painful stabs at a man's character, but woe unto, you know, you when men speak well of you at the same time. So how many of you had to fight the rumors prior to come in? Show of hands? Nobody? Okay, so no rumors. So, yeah, y'all were protected from that. But we are literally the gazing stock of this town, or maybe even where you guys are from. Is it the same way in Georgia? Look, you know, you get the looks and the stares, and you're kind of known.
Yes, we're known.
Yes.
Really, you know, in a positive, holy way. They recognize, oh, this sister's there. They come into the store.
Okay, so in a more kind, respectful way.
Absolutely.
Much like Mama Jaja would have said years ago, you would have looked at somebody and said, oh, they sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
Was it because they were dressed, right?
Yes.
Their arms might have been covered more, or their legs might have been covered more. I really, really enjoy covering, don't y'all?
Yes.
In every kind of way, right? It's part of us. It's
yes.
part of us.
Yes.
So you see the oneness. I keep saying that. You see the oneness in us now, but you hear the confusion of what we started with,
right?
Right? And so let's multiply. Let's go back to our patriarchal, right, where the man instructs, guides, or teaches, or tells, or he has the final say.
Mm-hmm.
That was all brand new to our minds, right? Most of you or some of you not even having a father. And so the man being more dominant was foreign, right? Yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, okay. And so now we have a man leading the ministry or a man leading our home, a man leading us in marriage, and patriarchy is everywhere. So we collectively have absolutely no problem with that.
Right.
Absolutely no problem, right?
Right?
We need that.
Yeah.
It's a must-have.
Right.
Like, we're banking. Is everybody banking on
yes.
somebody? Like,
yes,
a man must hear from Yah for me.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we are trying. We are wanting every one of them to pray or seek Yah or to rise up or to lead. Yes, hallelujah. So double honor to those who are. But if you take that mind that we previously had, that was like, what? I mean, patriarchy, I think, would have been one of those terms in education that you might have had to go look up and find out what the hell it was.
Right.
Like, oh, that sounds really scientific.
Yes.
Like, you know, glucotamine and patriarchy, both of those, you know, we're going to go.
Right.
And so, okay, so our previous mind that says, I don't know anything about that. Okay, so if we go back there, and then we do our multiplication again, because we're 10 women, but then there's the 50 and the 60. And the
yes.
100,
oh,
right?
Yes,
and they have that exact, like,
yes.
oh, my father wasn't in the home, or, you know, my father beat me. We got that too. Or, hey, my father raped me, or never met him, you know, or, you know, multiply.
Yes.
You see how foreign
mm-hmm.
it is for it to be in front of your face.
Yes.
And you see how the mind has to fall.
Yes.
To look at it and acknowledge it as your creator
and
his work. You know, because of your circumstance and your scenario. Any more emails? Any phone calls? Any questions in the chat? We're coming up on Pentecost. We really, I'm sure each of you probably long for your Sabbath or your feast, right?
Yes.
Work
6 days. Can you, Jennifer, one more little sing and ditty for me? The seventh day is the Sabbath. Come on. Pentecostal in our presence. That had occurred, and there were multiple people involved, and Elder Becker and Granny Diane were involved, traumatically injured,
mm-hmm.
with the effects probably still even lingering. It was very terrible. And so we go to this. It was an 18-wheeler crashing into a van, if I'm telling you correctly, and this would have been 2008 or so. And the van crashes into Elder Becker and Diane, okay? And the van, one of the reports were they wasn't sure how many people were in the van because, you know, the bodies were mangled and the hair was mangled. So you couldn't tell. There was a son, I think it was a son and a
and a mom who had the exact same hair, hair texture, hair everything, so they didn't know brains were across the highway, you know. Mm. Yes, it was really, really bad. So we barely kept the life of Diane and Elderbecker, honestly. Mm. So anyway, this man that was in the van that died instantly with his wife and his three children instantly, he was a pastor in this town. And my mother, I'm trying to tell it slow, my mother was coming here, and she had left that assembly to keep the truth. And so pastor and mother, me not knowing if they knew this man's man from being in town, but knowing that they were with my mom, supporting my mom. So my mom right. went to that funeral, mm-hmm. and I went. And I can't remember what sister went with me. If she's listening on the land tonight, she would remember. So we go, and this man, his, she had, she's the wife. She had the Holy Spirit, very meek, very quiet. He didn't. He never spoke of it, never talked about it, didn't promote it. Maybe Lutheran or Missionary Baptist, one of those, right? So it wasn't in his speech at all. One particular time, pause for a second, because now I just told you the story that he died in a car wreck. But pause. Years ago, I was in college, and I traveled back to this hometown one random summer and was invited to that church. And I went to that church, and so he's preaching, and it's very that, like, monotone. We start at 11, we sing a few songs, we got to be done at 11:50, get in the car and head to the barbecue quick, mm-hmm. you know. So that's my experience. So when I'm going back, you know, and it was the kind country moral crowd, you know, aged, a lot of aged people there. So let's go back. Let's fast forward some years later. Now we're going to his funeral, and we're going to his funeral at his church. Mm. Okay? Now, not only did your pastor die, but your pastor's wife died and his family. Now, if you know in Christianity, sometimes they will have, at least in small towns in my experience, they will have the house right beside them. So they got the church, and then their house is right there. So they really just lived, what's it called?
Parsonage.
Parsonage. Okay, so yeah, they lived right there in that house. Now, here we go. And what do we have in the pulpit? A woman with hair damn near shaved off, with fishnet pantyhose, and a skirt as short as you want to go out to the bar in. And I just couldn't fathom it. With no respect of his dead body, barely any words, and, you know, I don't think I ever talked to pastor or mother or the sister that went as far as relating or chit-chatting, like, what did y'all think? You know, I don't remember what they would remember from the experience because I don't have their words, but just my own was like, I always had that heart, y'all, that was like, I would never go to a woman pastor, like never. I don't have a church background at all, y'all. I don't have any experience seeing a lot of pastors, women, gifts, this, that, the other, like zero, 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 zero. I remember when we were out at the store the other day, me and Mama Jaja, I don't know why it was brought back to my memory, but I said, I've had many conversations in my apartment where me and my college or, let's say, educated or even older than me friends would come over after work. We worked at a restaurant, and we would have our hash-out belief conversations. You know, what do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? And, I mean, most of the time I would literally mock God and
the Christian church. And, I mean, you know, when you're educated in bullshit and with the gift of gab,
and no honesty in you, I mean, I repented for the blood that was on my hands when I came to the truth because I probably swayed a few minds with my, you know, debate and deliberation, right? You had to, in college, you got to have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of gab. I could stand up at a presentation and forget what I was supposed to say and just lie about
it,
right? You know? Mm-hmm. Who cared about lying? Did anybody care about lying?
No.
Might have felt bad later or probably didn't notice,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about now?
Okay.
The law is in your heart, huh?
Yes.
It's the forbidden thing, huh?
Yes.
Yes. And same with offense,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Woe unto the one who's offended. What about, what about
anger?
Yes, anger.
or just even getting loud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't get loud, right? You don't get your voice loud anymore. Like, why, you know, ain't going to shout about nothing. Why ain't going to shout? You tame yourself, right? What about stealing?
Oh, no.
Right? Not at all. History of stealing, yes or no?
Yes.
My friends would come out of stores often. Absolutely, yes. So we have some yeses, but now it is literally the farthest thing you would ever want to do. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so you see that conviction becomes a part of your nature, and it really molds you.
Yeah.
And we're here to help one another because we share these like-minded things, right?
Yeah.
So, you ever had deliverance? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes? Ever been healed here?
Yes.
Anybody have a healing? Just a, hey, I've been healed from? Raise your hand if you want to say it. Yeah? Come on.
I thought
what
this was.
Yeah.
Remember,
Hold on. So, let me reach it over a little bit.
So, the deliverance was apparently through trauma. I was in a car accident. Not last year, the year before, it was real bad, head-on collision, and I thought I was all right, and my shoulder, I couldn't do a push-up properly because my shoulder it would just start hurting. So found out some things and went after trauma, and then after trauma, I can do everything I was once able to do before the accident with my arm. So it was healed after the delivery.
Hallelujah. And, you know, we use terminology in our way that might be foreign to our listeners. She said, I went after trauma. We all understood that's our dialect. But if you're listening, went after means what, right? So I'm going to ask you, went after means what?
Meaning that it was in my crosshairs, and I knew that this was the issue plaguing me. So what I did was I sat down in a chair, and that was the spirit that was called out.
Yes, a demon.
A demon.
Of trauma.
Yes.
From a car accident.
Yep.
Continuing to cause you pain.
Yep.
A year later?
2 years later.
2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Any other healing? All right, who's been delivered? All right, been delivered of anger, yes or no?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Rejection, yes or no?
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hatred of self?
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hatred of men?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Unforgiveness towards father or mother?
Yes.
Wow, you see how common we all are? So we definitely should never exalt ourselves above one another, right?
Right.
When you look to your left and your right, you say, I can help you.
Right.
Yes.
And I should love you.
Right.
Right. Look where we come from. Look where we're going.
Right.
Right. And nothing's going to stop us and separate us from the love of Yah. Hey, Mother Jennifer, come on up. End the show. Thanks to everyone who listened. Thanks to everyone who gave their feedback. Bless you. And, hey, come out.
Hallelujah. Perfect word. Come out.
Come out.